of my life. 24 and there's so much more. Live alone in a paradise that makes me think of two. Love lost, such a cost. Give me things that don't get lost, like a coin that won't get tossed.
Man, take a look at my life. I'm a lot like you were. You left me at age 6 to the savage world with all its lies and tricks. Old man, take a look, it's me. I grew up to be the man you wanted to see. You're not here now, but that's okay. I have a son now, and I helped him find his way. You told me it's a hard world and there ain't nothing sweet. 10 toes down, standing on my own 2 feet. A world of fake friends and backstabbers, always smiling at me. I remember the words of Rasta Bob Marley. Your worst enemy can be your best friend. And your best friend, your worst enemy. You always play stupid, but the joke's on you, not me. Evil man walks around always looking to fight. Hateful words are the fish hooks that he always wants you to bite. Words like honey, they speak and crack a smile. Looking to trick me, then stab me in the back the whole while. So stay low like the serpent, you man of deceit. While I tend to my fields of olives, millet, corn, and wheat. So take a step back, O evil man. Play it smart and not being clever. My path is always courage, strength, and honor forever and ever. Welcome back to episode 215 of the Alpha Male Buddhist from Brooklyn podcast. I'm your host, Miguel. This episode is actually going to have an accompanying video that goes with it, and that you can find on my Rumble and my Odyssey channel. I do not post anything now to YouTube because everything that I post up to YouTube, any video, instantly doesn't even get out for the public to see. It looks as if it's published out there for people to see, but I go on to Best Buy or different spots and I have 3 videos up there of the book of, Psalms, the book of Ecclesiastes, and the book of Proverbs, which I have up there, but that's all I see. Meanwhile, I have uploaded, 5 or 6 videos. So YouTube is out. I don't use them anymore. The best thing to do, you can go to my Instagram, which again is Alpha Male Buddhist. Click on my link tree and you could see all of my social media there along with my Telegram. So let's get into the episode. Recently, I've been uploading some really solid content to my Twitter account. So you might want to go over there and give that a look also. Support me there. In this episode, we're going to talk about matters pertaining to the divine masculine and the divine feminine. We are also going to talk about the myth or the legend of the phoenix, which arose out of its own flames and ashes to fly higher than any bird ever has. We will also cover the need to stand up to your opposition. and to take a step back from that to actually realize that you do have opposition in life and that this opposition has nefarious plans for your downfall as they offer you cotton candy and rainbows. Understand that as you walk around in this life, the only thing that you're going to see is the top layer or the illusion that this world wants you to see. From a very young age, I was able to recognize who my opposition actually was. And once I was able to identify them, who they were, I realized that I had to make the choice to face my opposition head on in whatever form they took, whether it's a teacher, a phony fake friend, or some guy trying to rip me off for my shoeshine money at the corner store. The other very important thing to realize is that there are times that you're going to identify who your opposition or your opponent is, and it's actually going to be somebody very close to you. It could be husband, a wife, a cousin, somebody very, very close to you. And the important thing to do there is to run an antivirus on the whole situation, like a malware program that is going to eliminate and isolate the threat from this person so that you can interact with them on the positive aspects that they bring into your life. So there's no way that you're going to have, let's say, a brother, sister, wife, husband, or somebody very close to you, maybe even a boss, that you're going to run this antivirus and then cancel them out of your life, because it's going to ultimately end up hurting you, right? This person, they're bringing some negativity into your life, but there's actually some positive that's also coming from them to you. So again, run the antivirus malware, isolate out that negative energy from that person so that you can just attach to or connect with the positivity that's coming from them. Kind of an advanced concept, but if you're listening to this podcast, I'm sure you'll get it. Now, if I were to be presenting my case in a court of law to be in compliance with discovery, I would propose to you Exhibit A, Exhibit B, and Exhibit C in order to support my claim. Exhibit A. The mainstream media and pop culture promotes Black Lives Matter, murder music or murder drill music, supports the youth in our inner cities killing one another for clout and to promote their own music, so this crimes that they commit and the murders they commit adds validity to their music so that they can sell more records, profit, and cause the destruction and the downfall of our inner cities. And basically not even the inner cities, but everything, that the whole world really at this point has come down to that point. If you look at it really, really with a discerning eye, you'll see through the layers of lies and brainwashing and see the real truth and recognize really who the opponent or the opposition here is. And it's anybody that's promoting these false narratives of, let's say, Black Lives Matter, where the community in these urban centers, they feel that they have the right to lash out. Like one of the mayors said, you know, they were rioting, I forget what city it was, and he goes, let them do their damage because this is, you know, the way they manage it. And really what they're doing is destroying their own cities where they live and killing one another. And this transcends race. This is everybody these days. It's just promoting satanic death and destruction, you know, man-on-man violence. And, you know, while the upper class, the upper crust sits back, you know, with the caviar and sipping the, you know, Rothschild champagne, laughing and saying, oh, look at these common folk as they kill one another, you know. Now, pretty much right there in plain sight, you have Black Lives Matter, and then you have Antifa, right? So now you're having these riots in these major cities, and you're having Antifa, which is basically predominantly middle class to upper class, blancos, white youth, and blanco meaning white. I just think it sounds cooler than white, blanco. And then you have these black youth and everything like that with the Black Lives Matter. Now they're unifying together, right? Now the product of them unifying, or the result of the black and white unifying together, the product there is destruction, right? Why? so that whenever it's perceived that black and white are going to get together, it could only result in destruction. When you really look at it, what we need to do, again, imagine if, you know, the black youth and the white youth, or the blancos and the morenos, or however you want to phrase it, black and white get together, the youth, and they turn around and say, hey, you know what, why don't we affect change in our communities? And let's say the Antifa, they come into the ghetto or to these urban cities, and they say, well, you know what, we're going to help these young urban kids fix their basketball court, or help an old lady cross the street, or kind of visit elderly people in the hospital, something positive. But see, that's never going to happen, because what they want to do, and this is all Soros behind this, a lot of this, is let's create Antifa, let's bring Antifa into the Black Lives Matter protests, and then as a result of the black and white combining, or the morenos and the blancos combining, you have destruction, you know, you have murder, you have hate, you have rioting, okay, fires and all this kind of stuff like that. Because what they want you to do is in your mind subconsciously say that when the black and white gets together, it equals destruction. When nothing really should be further from the truth, because it's engineered that way right now. But imagine if you're in a situation where you could walk down the worst neighborhood in Gowanus Projects in Brooklyn or Compton or St. Louis, like down the worst neighborhood, like at night. And let's say you're a blanco, you're a white dude, and you're kind of lost. And then, you know, a brother or a black kid comes up to you and says, hey, you lost, man? Yeah, I'll show you. And then he'll kind of show you where you want to go, right? Imagine how positive that is. Or vice versa, you know, a black dude or a Puerto Rican dude, whatever, gets a flat. White dude pulls up and says, hey, you know, can I help you out? Yeah, you know, it helps him with the flat. Guy moves on. Like, man, that's building. That's power right there. You know, that's positive. That's love. They don't want that. They want you to perceive this as when black and white get together, it equals destruction. And that is what's taking place right now. George Soros, if you're listening, you stupid. So, just tuck that one away. Again, you got to identify who your opposition is. Okay, so now we get to Exhibit B in Discovery, and that is climate change. I remember back in circa 2001, I think Clinton was in office until like 2000. So right around there, 2000, 2001, as Bill Clinton completed his position as president, Al Gore began this whole agenda with the environment, the environmental agenda. And I remember specifically Al Gore saying that by the year 2014, the latest 2018, that New York City would be underwater as a result of this global warming. Then the environmentalists switched from calling it global warming, they switched over to calling it climate change, because there were snowstorms and cold spells and all kind of stuff like that, so they could no longer promote this lie of global warming, so they switched it over to climate change, which is the hurricanes and the extreme weather that we're experiencing, not even to mention, you know, the chemtrails and all that, which we now know are a fact. You know, they're spraying us with almost like roach spray, like we're little roaches, you know, from the these chemtrails that they're spraying on us. So now we're going to get into the carbon tax. And understand one thing. If you get a really huge volcano eruption, like, you know, Krakatoa east of Java, that kind of huge volcanic eruption, that one volcanic event causes more carbon into the environment and releases more carbon into our environment than all of mankind has ever produced in our history, okay, just from one volcano, right? So now what they're saying is the cow farts are producing a lot of carbon. So what's going to happen is we're going to have to switch from calling meat, we're going to have to call it protein, because when you're no longer to eat meat or beef or whatever it is, they want to feed you the bugs. They're going to say, well, you know, where's the meat? Oh, no, it's not meat. It's protein. They're calling meat right now. They're calling it protein. This whole double entendre, double speak to us, you know, like Orwell. Orwell, in 1984, he was talking about this double speak, or this new speak that they're putting out to us, right? So they're going to take meat away from us, beef, chicken, lamb, whatever it might be, and they're going to give us the bugs, as Klaus Schwab says. But they're not going to call it the bugs. They're going to call it protein, right? So let that one sink in. And now I have Exhibit C, and this is a tough one. And most people today avoid this like the plague, right? But today, as we speak, there's a genocide that's taking place in the Middle East. And we're told that one of the strongest, most advanced military powers in the world today is defending itself against this opposition that they have. And what this opposition basically ends up being is women and innocent little children, right? And the best way to illustrate this as a fact, because right now these people, and I'll say it's Palestine, they're being starved to death. And what ended up happening today is March 21st, 2024. So what happened recently, I think it was last week or 2 weeks ago, they did some kind of food air shipment drop so that the starving Palestinians could come out and get some food. And when they were starving, women and children, when they came to get the food, there were some tanks there. And as the women and children came to get the food, the tanks just basically obliterated them and just killed all of them and blew them away. And the reasoning and the rationale, the tanks, they said that they felt like they were under attack, right? So how clear does it get that not only is that taking place right now, but that's the plans that they have for each and every one of us right now, right? With this doublespeak, with this one world government, with this depopulation, it's really all in our faces right now. And if you're not getting it, I don't know when you will understand what's taking place. But the only thing I can do right now, you know, it says in the Bible that if mankind doesn't speak out, that the rocks will cry out. The rocks themselves will cry out and tell you what's going on. And right now I can hear a lot of rocks crying out, man. And all of this is being exposed right now. So we're going to get into it, the layers of it. So the first top layer of this world always presents things to you that seem to be easy, or the easiest path of least resistance that you need to walk down, right? Now, this path of least resistance, the easy way to go is filled with popcorn, cotton candy, and rainbows, right? Nothing to see here, just keep eating the cotton candy and rainbows. But one thing you have to remember, and you have to be afraid of the boogeyman. Be very, very afraid of the boogeyman. So that's the top layer. That's layer number one. The second layer of this reality tells us that it can help us. It's almost like a Hegelian dialectic, you know, problem, reaction, solution. And what the second layer of this reality is telling us is that, yes, there is a boogeyman, but Big Daddy Government and the powers that be will protect us from this boogeyman. So as long as we fall into compliance with them, we allow them to take away all of our human rights, and we allow them to depopulate the whole planet, then what they will do is they will protect us. Now, they don't tell us that they're depopulating us. They're telling us that, you know, we have popcorn, cotton candy, and rainbows that they have for us, you know, for us to consume and to just sit on social media and, you know, get all that digital dopamine off the likes and all of the views that they're getting on social media. But that's what they're spoon feeding us right now. It's like they're spoon feeding us the cat food, which they're telling us is shelf steak. No. It's not bugs. It's not the bugs. It's New York strip steak. Now, the third layer of this reality tells us the only way we can survive is to give up all of our rights. Then after we give up all of our rights, we need to cast blame and fear out to every other race, creed, and color of mankind, because they are the reason for our collective suffering. In other words, project all of the hate onto the target or the evil man causing all of the problems. Meaning, you know, right now, I guess the scapegoat du jour is Donald Trump, when it really has nothing to do with Donald Trump. What it is, it's like a psychological game, because now they realize that people are really in a state of suffering and fear. So they don't want to be recognized as the one causing all of this suffering and fear. So what they need to do is find a target for you to direct and project your fear onto, and that's going to be whoever they choose that day. God forbid you recognize really where it's coming from and really who your opposition is. No. They're going to tell you who the opposition is. And today, that opposition is Donald Trump. And that opposition is hardworking, productive, law-abiding men, right? Criminals can walk around with guns in New York City. I watch this guy Jordan on YouTube, some real estate guy on YouTube, and he talks about, he puts out an episode every morning now, it's pretty good, and he talks about how they are catching people sneaking onto the train. They do a search on them, they find that they have a gun on them. One kid had a gun with 32 clip magazine in it, you know? They brought him in, they gave him a slap on the wrist, and they let him out the same day, and I think a few days later he killed somebody, you know? So that's really what's taking place right now. But again, they don't want you focusing on that. It's an inversion of reality. It's like what they do to you is what they're accusing you of. What the ruling class, what these demons, really, what they're doing to us is causing all of this harm to us. But then what they do is they invert it so that it almost seems like we're doing this to them. You know, they're blaming us for what they do. In other words, they want you to project all of your fear and hate and accusations against Donald Trump or against your next door neighbor or against the dude across the street who's trying to help you out, you know, fix a flat on your car, whoever it is. But as long as you don't recognize and identify who your real opponents are. So in essence, what it works out to being is that the system is telling us the only way out of this suffering is to wipe out all toxic masculinity and embrace the feminine path. It tells us the need to make the whole world a loving, fluffy nest where we can all cuddle together in the warmth and the fuzziness of, you know, this little nest that we've built for us, which is a very, very feminine way of observing reality, of observing what's really going on. You know, equity, compassion, and love. And there's always a place for that, but understand that there's always a need for balance, because in the masculine, we find competition. We find the one that goes out and hunts and brings back food for the whole tribe to eat, right? So this is the crux of the trick that they're presenting to us. The main objective is to demonize and vilify masculinity and call it toxic masculinity. You know, this is the code that they're using to enslave us, when right now, honestly, the only thing that can save us is the divine masculine, where man takes charge of the situation, protects the tribe, feeds the tribe, and gets the tribe to where it needs to go so that it can survive another season, so to speak, right? So the system tells us that masculinity and competition are evil, and again, the cause of all suffering. It will tell you that your third grade boy, that they, them, zer, whatever pronoun they're going to use for them, that this little third grade boy should consider transitioning to be a little girl. And if the parents object, they will advise Child Protective Services to remove that child from that hostile house and place them in foster care with another they, them, zer in a foster home, where they will be feminized even more. And in addition to feminizing them even more, this little third grader can get more cotton candy, rainbows, and a new pronoun every week. Now, I understand that this can be all very confusing if you're not perceiving it and seeing it in your reality. So what we need to do right now is we need to employ some critical thinking and some logic in order to find out who the real opposition is. Recognize that opposition and then implement our way of protecting ourselves from this false reality that's being forced upon us, okay? The first layer tells us that the whole world is made up of cotton candy and rainbows. Now let us unpack that. The reason the Matrix is selling us this lie is because this system does not want you to recognize who your true enemy is, and that is where you need to start, and that is by identifying the enemy. We also need to understand that all the way back to the Garden of Eden, there was always good and evil. However, the trick that this system is trying to perpetrate against us is telling us that the whole world is good, but we're going to tell you who the evil is. So it's no longer, you know, duality where it's good and evil. The whole world is good, i.e. cotton and rainbows and pronouns, right? The whole world is good, but we're going to tell you what's evil. We're going to make that choice. Again, it's so that you don't identify who your enemy is. Understand that. That's what I'm trying to get at in this episode. Just for a minute, sit back and think, what if, let's take New York, for example. Let's say that these people realize, and I'm not even going to get into the immigration now because they're just letting criminals in and all kind of people. And I'm Puerto Rican. I'm Spanish myself. I don't want these people coming in like that. There's a right procedure to do that. They're taking food and resources out of hungry people's mouths so that they can give it, and a lot of them are real military age men, a lot of them really bad criminal backgrounds, murderers and everything like that. They're committing crimes right now, but don't look that way. Look over here at the cotton candy and rainbows. See what I'm getting at? So what this system wants to do is tell you that everything is good, and then they're going to tell you what's bad. So they can invert reality, have control over you, and then have you project all of your fear and hate onto the villain du jour, the villain of the day. And right now, the villain of the day is what they call toxic masculinity. But in essence, really, it's the divine masculine, which needs to be in perfect proportion to the divine feminine, in which you get, you know, the perfect creation and perfect life existence when you have a balance of the two. You know, love and a provider and guidance, ethics, morality, and living a moral life as opposed to the demoralization that they're putting on us right now, as Yuri Bezmenov gets into. What the real enemies are these big multinational corporations, the pharmaceutical companies, the military industrial complex, the Wall Street bankers or the international bankers, who really what they do, their whole thing is to start wars for profit. Like, why are we even having a war in Ukraine right now? Like, what is that about? And in Palestine, what is that all about? Like, why do we need to be killing people today? I don't get it. I don't understand this whole thing. So again, these entities, these oligarchic entities, Like I said, the banksters and the pharmaceutical companies and the Wall Street investment companies and hedge funds and such, what they're doing is they've dumbed us down so bad that they've got us to a point where we're hating one another and we're loving the oppressor. See what I mean? Those who understand, understand. If you know, you know. So in ancient Greece, right around circa 500 BC, there was a historian by the name of Herodotus. And Herodotus wrote about the phoenix, or the myth, the Greek myth of the phoenix. And it's very appropriate in this context because in essence, what the myth is, it's a myth, but there's an archetype built into it. And what the myth is that the phoenix was a bird that was able to fly so high up into the air and into the sky. And he was a really, really magnificent bird, this phoenix. So what ended up happening as a result of the circumstance that this phoenix was in and what was going on in the world, that this phoenix crashed down into a blazing fire or into his own flame, whatever it might be. It's very metaphysical. But he crashed into this flame and he was consumed by this great flame. From the ashes of this flame, the same phoenix was reborn, almost like a philosopher's stone kind of thing, and flew out of his own ashes to fly higher than any other bird has ever flown before, right? So I've always remembered the phoenix. I remember learning this in Greek philosophy, I don't know, like in seventh grade, sixth or seventh grade. The teacher was going over these ancient myths, you know, and this one stuck with me because I can remember whenever I would be in a really hard time, or I was really, and I've had a lot of hard times in my life, I'd be in a really bad situation, I would kind of harken back and think about the phoenix and how he flew out of his own ashes. You know, when you feel you're at your lowest point, that once you hit that rock bottom is when you find that philosopher's stone within yourself and fly out of your own ashes to heights that you never imagined before, right? So just something, look that one up, the phoenix. And be careful, because there's some weird flaky little stories on YouTube about the phoenix. But do, you know, crack open a book or do a little bit of research on this, because it's very inspiring in real life. So that's going to kind of about do it for this episode. I do want to thank you for listening. Praise Yeshua HaMashiach's name. Praise Jesus Christ's name. And thank you for listening. Welcome to the Alpha Male Buddhist from Brooklyn podcast. I'm your host, Miguel. I like to cover topics from ancient history, great leaders and generals from the past, and I also like to talk about self-realization, truth, critical thinking, and strategic spirituality. Outside the box, nonconformist. I'm here to shatter the myths of the mainstream media and the beta sheeple narrative. I do want to thank you guys for listening. Praise Yeshua HaMashiach's name. Praise Jesus Christ's name. My Linktree is Alpha Male Buddhist Pod. Links are in the show note descriptions of this episode below. There in my Linktree, you will find links to my Instagram, Telegram, Rumble, Odyssey, Twitter, and my free episode archives. If you're a new listener, I have also included links to my top-rated episodes. These are specific episodes of the podcast that are the most popular and listeners have given me the most positive feedback on. Some of these episodes are also in video format, so you can not only listen to the episode, but you can watch the accompanying video to that episode. Also, contact me for my free Academy of Liberation handbook, which is in PDF format, along with a free audiobook version of the handbook. So check out the show notes below of this episode for all of my content links. This podcast is hosted on the Podbean platform, so my website there is alphamalebuddhist.podbean.com.